Good morning, everyone. So I'm Amber Moore, Extension Soil Fertility Specialist for the University of Idaho in Twin Falls. And I've been working on this project for a couple years, looking at dairy manure applications and how they impact various high-value crops. So we have over 500,000 dairy cows in southern Idaho, and the majority of the dairy cows in our state are concentrated in five counties in south central Idaho. Now, this kind of statistic is usually followed by a discussion of nitrate issues or phosphate issues and on, but we took it from a different perspective. We're looking more from a grower's perspective. A lot of the growers in southern Idaho are concerned about using manure or applying manure to their crops because we are an irrigated, high-input region. A grower worries about applying these dairy manures and actually losing yield or losing crop quality to such a degree that they lose money applying these manure applications. So some of the high-value crops that we're going to talk about today are wheat, malt barley, and then especially potatoes and sugar beets. These growers are especially concerned about manure applications and how it impacts their crops. We have a tremendous amount of acreage of these four crops in these regions, and you know, I have my own incentive. The hope is that if we can get some of these growers to apply more manure, that we can get more manure away from the corn and alfalfa fields that are right next to the dairies, so we do get less concentrations of nitrates and phosphates in that area. So the objective of the study that we're going to discuss today is to evaluate the agronomic impact of dairy manure field applications on an irrigated high-value crop, or several high-value crops in southern Idaho. And the ones that we're focusing on in this study are spring wheat, spring malt barley, russet Burbank potato, and sugar beet. We're also looking at environmental impacts as well, but they don't have 2 hours for me to talk today, so we're just going to focus on the agronomic ones. So just to give you an idea of what we're doing in this study, it's an 8-year study. We are 2 years in, so we have 2 years of data to show you today. And we have two adjacent fields that are involved in the study. And in those fields, the rotations are wheat, potato, barley, and sugar beet. And then the field right next to it is barley, sugar beet, wheat, potato. And the reason why I did this is because of the crop commodities wanted more crop information out of this study. And so to do that, we had to do it this way. But this is kind of what it looks like. So this is our north field. It's been in wheat and potatoes so far. And then in what we call the south field has been in barley and sugar beets thus far. And so we looked at a couple different things. One thing we looked at was timing of the manure application. So we looked at either applying the manure every fall, which is something commonly done for corn or alfalfa or near the dairy just to get rid of the manure more often. Or we apply the manure every other fall or every other year before the grains, before the wheat or the barley crop. And when we set the study up, this is what the potato and sugar beet growers asked us to do. They said they weren't comfortable putting the manure directly before the sugar beet or potatoes. And they had reasons, and some seemed valid, some seemed didn't. And so the idea was to conduct this research and understand from our own perspective, you know, the reasons for doing this, if it is even worthwhile to take a year off. And then we did three different application rates, 7.7, 15.4, and 23.1 dry ton to the acre. So for the grower and the dairyman, this translates roughly to about 20, 40, and 60 wet ton of manure to the acre, estimating about 60% moisture content, although this changed every year. We also had a fertilizer-only treatment and a control treatment where no nutrients were applied at all. And I should mention at this moment that all the manure treatments were supplemented with fertilizers as needed based on soil tests and University of Idaho recommendations. Because the idea wasn't to just compare manure alone to fertilizer alone, it was to compare what a grower would do. And a grower would not just put down manure if they didn't have enough of their other nutrients. And so that was the perspective that we came from. It's kind of a tough call when you're doing these kinds of studies, but that was what we wanted to, the angle that we wanted to take. It's a randomized complete block design, and we have four replications. And we did large plots, 40 foot by 60 foot, because we are analyzing so many different parameters in these plots. We wanted plenty of space for lots of different scientists to play. All right, so first I'll start off talking a little bit about the wheat and how our wheat crop responded to manure applications. And so these are our yields, bushel to acre. And so control and fertilizer had similar yields, while adding manure, whether it was the lower rate or the high rate, gave us a nice approximately 15 bushel to acre increase. Now in this case, in some of the data I'm going to show you later on, we just got back last week, and so it doesn't have statistics attached to it. But the reason why this doesn't have any little A's or B's next to it is actually because we didn't get a significant difference. And I'll show a, let's see. And the reason for that is because at the highest manure rate, we had the highest variability of yields. Why did we have such a high variability of yields? Now this is the control, this is the fertilizer, low manure, moderate, and highest. So this is the fertilizer treatment, and this is the highest manure treatment. So in the grains, as we put down more and more manure, we saw more and more lodging. And that's something that our growers need to know, when it lodges, what's the sweet spot. At the lower rates, 20 and 40 wet tons of the acre, we didn't really have an issue with lodging. But at the highest manure rate, we saw quite a bit. So why are we seeing the yield increases? Well, we are trying to figure all that out, but I think one of the easiest reasons is we're seeing a nice increase in organic matter in that first foot and even in the second foot. The green and the yellow bars control and fertilizer, respectively. And then we, as we increase the amount of manure, and this is how much we cumulatively applied over the two-year period, we're getting an increase in organic matter to almost 2%, while we're closer to 1.3 or 1.4% at the lower amount. And in southern Idaho, it's very difficult for us to increase our organic matter. So I think that this is having an impact on our yield for many different reasons. When I showed this data to the wheat growers, the part of the presentation that they were most excited about was this part. And we did see a very nice significant increase in protein levels with increasing manure rates. And I think this has everything to do with late release of nitrogen from that manure. It makes those proteins go up. Wheat growers went crazy for this. So they were very excited to see this this slide. So that is something that we are... that is good, and that our wheat growers are very excited about, and so are we. So what do we see in barley? And it's a slightly different story. This was an eye-opening experience for me. I thought barley and wheat just acted the same, and they don't at all, which was really good for me to learn. So so this is malt barley yield. This is a Moravian 69. It's a Coors variety. And so controlled fertilizer, we saw 135, 139 bushels of the acre. That low manure rate, we got a nice yield bump, but then it went down as we kept adding more manure. Proteins also went up. While this is good for barley, it's actually, good for wheat, it's actually quite bad for barley. It messes up the malt extracting process, and that's about as much as I can say on that. So what's going on that we saw a little bit of a yield increase and then it started to go away? And again, the absence of A's and B's is because we couldn't get statistical significance, and that was, again, at this high manure rate, we saw very high variability in our yields. And again, this is the low manure rate, so we're starting to see some nice yield increases, but they're starting to drift down. And here's the control and the fertilizer. So this again is malt barley, fertilizer only. And this is malt barley at the highest manure rate. You can even see the edges of the plots from the lodging. So this is a severely lodged plot. So this really was good for us to know when we're telling everybody to put lots of manure down, maybe the barley guys need to back off and not put down as much manure as maybe their wheat growing friends. All right, what are we finding in terms of potatoes and sugar beets? So we're still getting potato and sugar beet data in as I'm giving this talk, but I'll give you a little preview as to what we're finding. So in this table we have yield and number two yield of our potatoes. And for you who have not worked with potatoes before, number two is basically the ugly ones, the ones with the knobs and the growth cracks, the lower quality on a visual basis of those potatoes. And then this unit is 100 weight per acre. It means like 100 pounds. It's sort of the potato world version of bushel. So to give you an idea, you divide it by 20 and you can have ton to the acre if that is more comfortable for you. So a few things I want to highlight in this table. So for fertilizer only, we saw about 514, and what growers say, they say sacks to the acre. So we saw about 514 sex to the acre when we just did fertilizer and a decent number of number twos. But what I want to point out is when we added manure at a heavy rate 2 years in a row, so before the wheat and again before the manure, it looks like we're seeing a yield decrease and lots of ugly potatoes, proportionately speaking. However, when we took a year off, like the potatoes growers told us to do, and we actually saw it's probably not a significant yield increase, but it's definitely not any lower than what we saw with the fertilizer, and even slightly higher. And again, and not that ugly looking potatoes. They're still pretty comparable to what we saw with the fertilizers. So why are we seeing that yield decrease? And I'm going to put my money on salt accumulations. In areas where you don't have a lot of rainfall, we actually have accumulations of salts in our soils. And we definitely saw that in this study for sure. So as we increase the manure rate, we increased the soluble salts from about 0.7 all the way to 3.5. And these red bars are the ones that we divided, so we did annual applications every year. While the blue ones, are where we took a year off, took a break. And as a reference, potato yields are reported to decline above 1.7 decisiemens per meter. So this is about 1.7 right here. So here we're getting right into those higher salt levels where those salt-sensitive crops like potatoes and beans and other crops start to have issues. The other thing I want to point out in this graph is that at this same manure rate, so the blue bar means that we put 43 wet ton before the wheat, while the red bar means that we split it up, put 21 before wheat and 21 before the potato. Even though it's the exact same amount of manure, we're actually seeing a lot more salts when we don't take that year off, and that's because salts are so soluble. Taking that year off allowed those salts to drain through the system, which is very beneficial for those potatoes. And then finally, some sugar beet data. We'll take a quick peek at this. So in terms of beet yield, for the fertilizer only, we saw about 30 ton to the acre yield, not a bad yield for sugar beets. However, when we added manure, pretty much no matter how much, we got a nice 5 ton to the acre increase. Now, what I do want you to notice is that sugar percent, which is what also really matters to a sugar beet grower, declined, especially for the annual treatments as we increased those manure rates. We saw it somewhat with the biennial, but we definitely saw it with the annual. So what's going on in sugar beets? Well, this is some nitrogen mineralization data that we also collected through a buried bag study. This was from last year. We don't have all the data processed from this year, but we do know this is our highest manure rate that we're getting a big nitrogen flush here late in the season. And for sugar beets, that's not a good thing. Two things happen. A lot of nitrogen goes into those tops, and the other thing is the nitrogen becomes an impurity in that beet, and it distracts the sugar making process and the sugar extraction process. And so it's actually a bit of an issue. Actually a big issue. Nitrogen mineralization is a major issue for sugar beet growers. So bottom line, should dairy manure be applied to high value crops, at least the ones we studied? Wheat, yes, period. Maybe the highest rate when you're starting to see a little lodging might want to back off a little bit. Barley, yes, but at lower rates to avoid the severe lodging that we showed you. Potatoes, yes, but applied to the preceding crop to avoid salt accumulations because it is a salt sensitive crop. At least in a low moisture region like ours. If you live in an area where there's a lot of rainfall and you're growing potatoes, you might be able to wash those salts naturally and not have to worry about it. For us, we do. And then finally, sugar beets, yes, but at lower rates or with preceding crop to avoid that negative impact of the late nitrogen release on the sugar content. So stay tuned. We still have 6 more years to go. We're going to do work on nitrous oxide emissions, plant nutrient uptake, nitrogen mineralization, and nutrient accumulation. So we're just getting started. Thanks so much.
Any question for Amber? Any question for Amber?
I answered all the questions.
Okay, I have one question. Quick question.
Sure.
Why in your most slides that I saw that when you are applying in your check plots and if you are comparing with the fertilizer one, there is not much difference. In spring wheat I saw there is a decline. whether you have a high residual soil nitrate nitrogen
Right, so you're asking about the control versus fertilizer.
Yes.
Very good question. So in the first year of this study, we actually did have quite a bit more nitrogen residual from the previous crop that had nothing to do with the study. But since we've gone on with it, we've drained that nitrogen down only 3.5 part per million of those control, and it will stay like that for the rest of the study. So we're hoping next year when we grow wheat and barley again, we will see a more dramatic difference. But that was something that we noticed too. In a perfect world, we would have started with a much lower nitrogen in that first year. So very good observation.
Yep, thanks.
Okay.
Oh.
Yep, this was non-composted manure. I do. It depends on the crop. Like, for example, for the barley crop, I've been recommending that people consider using compost instead of manure because there is less nitrogen. And it tends to be nitrogen that triggers that that lodging response. And so, especially in terms of nitrogen, absolutely there'd be a difference in compost and manure in terms of carbon as well and organic matter. However, everything else, all the mineral salts, don't change that much during the composting process. So I would actually suspect that that would be about the same. Good question. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Emma.